ago, Indiana faced twin deficits, a fiscal deficit stemming from years of government outspending its means and an infrastructure deficit, a $3 billion shortfall between the cost of needed transportation projects and the dollars due to come in. We had more than $2 of needs and plans for every $1 of funds on a business-as-usual basis. Today, state government is operating on a balanced budget and is on its way to paying back its debts to schools and local governments. This morning, in one bold stroke, we announced the closing of Indiana's second deficit. As a candidate and as governor, I said that we should explore the possibility of attracting private capital, other people's money, that no Hoosier need be taxed for, to build the great projects we cannot afford, bringing with them countless thousands of new jobs and a more prosperous future for our children.
We sought to leap to the front of an onrushing worldwide trend to use such partnerships. Last Friday, after the fastest bid process in the history of such transactions, we received four final bids to operate at least and operate the Indiana Toll Road on a long-term basis. Every bid offered an enormous amount of money far beyond anything the state could generate on its own. One bid was clearly superior to the others, and after due deliberation, I am proud and thrilled to recommend it to the General Assembly and to my fellow citizens. I ask this morning that the legislature pass our proposed major moves initiative and enable Indiana to accept the offer from the joint venture known as Statewide Mobility Partners of a lump sum payment of $3.85 billion.
Wow.
After closing, we will deposit this astonishing sum, equaling more than a decade of new construction funding at the current level, into a new trust fund to be invested as fast as legally and humanly possible in the biggest building program in state history, the Hoosier Heartland Corridor, a nonstop U.S. 31, new Ohio River bridges, I-69, the Fort to Port Highway, the Gary Chicago Airport, and hundreds more projects will all change overnight from wishes to certainties. The money will be in the bank. At last, we can stop dreaming and start digging. The advantages don't stop there. We will have a vastly better Indiana toll road than we have today. It will be better maintained, better patrolled, with better technology than the state could ever provide. Statewide Mobility's capital plan for the next few years calls for more than twice as much investment to upgrade the toll road as the state has managed in the recent past. It's been years since state government has been able to provide a dime of road money to local government. Because the winning bid was so large, even beyond what is estimated to fully fund our 10-year plan and other major moves commitments, I have asked the bill's sponsor to add to it an amendment to commit $150 million in direct funding to our 92 counties to help them address their own project needs and backlogs. On the day it closes, this transaction will become the largest such event in American history. That record will not last long. Other larger states are already considering similar steps and will be emboldened by Indiana's example. But our moving ahead of others almost certainly contributed to the high level of the bids we received. One record likely to last a long while is the time in which we got this done. We took just 117 days to conduct a complex financial process that typically takes 9 months or even longer. In today's world, speed makes a huge difference, and those businesses or states that move fast gain a major edge. I speak often to our new crew in government of the need for our state to think big, aim high, and move fast. In this instance, it's safe to say that Indiana has done all three. Today marks an extraordinary moment in state history. A breakthrough like this may come but once in a public service lifetime. We invite and welcome the support of every legislator for this unprecedented and probably unrepeatable opportunity to build Indiana's future. Surely, partisanship and negativism will now be suspended to seize this fantastic opportunity. Let everyone share in the credit and in the joy of seeing new life come to Hoosier communities and thousands of new jobs come to the workers of our state. Thank you very much. I doubt there are any questions, but...
So where's Statewide Mobility Partners from?
It is a joint venture of the Macquarie Bank of Australia and Cintra Corporation of Madrid, Spain. And we have fact sheets for you. They operate over 30 such facilities around the world. They are the operators of the Chicago Skyway, the Windsor-Detroit Bridge, the Dulles Expressway, either together or separately, and have enormous experience at building roads that are superior and that that people want to drive on.
You say you have the money in the bank for these projects if you listed I-69. Does that mean you can build I-69 now without tolls?
No. We should build I-69 as the bill proposes, as a private public partnership. It'll get built faster that way, and that'll still be our plan. But in all honesty, we don't know what will be offered to do that. And this will give us the flexibility in the event that more state funds need to be in that partnership than we have estimated in advance.
You have $1 billion more than your shortfall, Governor. You announced how you use $150 million of that. What are the remaining?
It'll stay in a trust fund for economic and jobs opportunities we can't see yet, but what we intend to make happen in Indiana. Every time we build an ethanol plant, there's a need for instance, and we're going to build 10 this year, there's a need for either road or rail connections to it. We intend to create a lot more such opportunities. Some of these projects, if history's any guide, will overrun. We need flexibility to deal with that. Yes, as the bill actually proposes two. One, with 34% of the funds in it for the exclusive use of the seven toll road counties, 20% of Indiana citizens, 34% of the money. And that doesn't really describe the whole of it because, for instance, they would share in this $150 million of local money that we've now proposed to add. The remainder, then, is in the Major Moves Trust Fund to fund all the other projects that will make us a great economic success.
Do you know exactly how much that 34% would be? Because I know first we have to pay off some bonding and some administrative expenses.
Well, you can take 34% of $3.85 billion, and you're about there. We have charts and fact sheets for you, but it's on the nature of $1.3 billion.
There are four bids. This one chosen specifically because of how high it was, or what other factors did you look at and tell us how close the other bids may have been?
While all the bids were vastly more than Indiana could ever afford on its own, this one was clearly superior, as I mentioned. And but I also wanted to have a hard look at the record of running effective, efficient, customer-friendly roads, and these people definitely have that. They were probably as good on that score as any entrant could be.
Can you tell us the other three?
We will do that at closing for business and financial reasons. That's just going to have to wait. I will say this. Not one person in the room, I don't believe, when they review those others, will question that we made the right and obvious choice.
Have you contacted this company?
Yes. I spoke to, actually, it's two CEOs, because it is a joint venture, at length yesterday, and told them that Indiana's expectations are very high with regard to the way they approach their duties and the way in which we expect them to provide not merely equal but better customer service and to make these investments in the toll road that the state would not have been able to make on its own. And I'm very encouraged. You must remember, these people have just bet $4 billion. The only way that they will ever see that money back is by running a road that customers want to use and gladly use. We have, a 200-page document that binds them to every conceivable aspect of public service that freezes the tolls below a very low escalator after the ones we've just put in place, and allows us, if we ever wanted to take the road back and keep their money. But the best guarantee we have is their own interest and now need to run a road that allows them to get their investment back.
How can they spend this much money and have restrictions on tolls, and they obviously have an expectation of profit, and the state could? What can they do that the state couldn't
do? They believe, and of course the risk is entirely on them, that they can run this road more efficiently over time than governments do. Secondly, they do have, as a private firm, they have access to capital that we can't attain. You know, there's no way we could have raised this amount of money in the state. You could triple or quadruple the gas tax, theoretically. You could borrow it and put the state in the kind of hock that bankrupted it in the middle of the 19th century. This is at least four times better than any arrangement the state could make on its own. And that's what makes it a great day for every Hoosier. Zero. The risk is entirely on them, of course. So you'll have to ask them what they are promising their investors.
What is their calculation?
I'm going to let them speak to that. It really doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the reality that roads like 31 are now going to happen after decades of empty promises.
What
yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry. It's got to be had her hand up. No. In fact, you'll find that they are planning to invest another $4.4 billion over that time frame, at least as clearly as they can see the future. It is simply laughable to suggest that Indiana could have gotten anything like this amount of money together or made this kind of investment in its future through conventional means of taxation and borrowing. Its investors will find a new operator. State is completely protected in every way. And besides, if we ever want to, or if that finally happens, we can take the road back. We've pocketed the money. We can always go back to operating it ourselves.
What are their plans for the employees?
We had a very specific conversation about that. First of all, they look forward to interviewing every single employee, and I don't doubt that many, if not most, will find a home there. Any that don't choose to join the new company are welcome in state government, and as we have in other contexts, we will take care of them all. But they're very not only sensitive to this, but of course they're very interested in, they're very impressed with the toll road employees they have met so far, who provided the information, the technical data on which they are making this very large investment. Just as one bit of perspective for you, when we opened the empty white elephant of the Newcastle prison, brought prisoners home from out of state, and eventually we'll hire another 300 Hoosiers in order to guard them here as opposed to in Kentucky. The existing employees who transitioned over averaged a 7% pay and compensation increase. Many of them experienced increases way into the double digits. So we'll be very mindful of it, but I have no doubt that those employees who seek to make this change are going to be very, very pleased.
When is the closing date? Do you need the General Assembly to pass the bill to you before you close?
Yes, we do need the General Assembly's permission to do this. 18 states have so-called P3 statutes on the books, which allow them to do the kind of things we want to do. We are out in front, and we would be out in front and actually doing it at this scale. But we do need, of course, the General Assembly's permission. And again, let's make this a win for every Hoosier. Let's have everybody support. Let everybody claim the credit. I can guarantee you they'll all show up for the groundbreaking. So let's recognize that we have not been this way before. We will not be this way again. This is a magnificent opportunity for our kids and the economic future of this state, and everybody ought to share in the credit, and I think that's what's going to happen.
It is.
Let me go a little further, Norm. This will put Indiana in a position that I don't believe any state has ever been in. Money in the bank for all the projects and perhaps more that are on the books today, including the ones you mentioned. And as I've said, that means that we will be constrained only by the legal and physical limits of how fast you can file environmental impact statements, acquire land, hire people, and actually build these large and complex projects. No more will there have to be an excruciating financial calculation. How much can we afford next year, next year, next year? So our next job after achieving this will be to pursue what Tom Sharp's already doing, the reengineering of NDOT into the fastest road builders and project managers in America. They will have a freedom, namely money in the bank, that they and none of their counterparts has ever had.
I don't think there's a date in there.
I'm sorry?
I don't think there's a date in there. Do you have?
Well, we've said that we want to see the first earth moved on 69, on 31, as early as 08. If anybody can find a way to advance that any further, I'll give them a medal and we'll do it. I mean, the point is that we have now an extraordinary freedom and flexibility to do all these things as fast as is humanly possible. No state's ever been in that position before.
Governor, what happens from here? The Skyway deal, it happened very rapidly when it was sticking out in the city.
We asked the General Assembly, I hope by acclamation, to pass the authorizing legislation. We will move to closing very, very quickly, and these folks will go into business. We will go into the business of planning and spending this trust fund. Yes. In essence, they bid on this, and the bid itself, of course, is very simple. But yes, the answer to that is yes.
You will release it today.
Yeah.
Were any of the three American companies?
I'm sorry?
Were any of the losing companies American companies?
Yes.
How will the state hold them accountable, and under what circumstances did you take hold?
We have 200 and some pages of guarantees, and we will be monitoring them very, very closely, of course. Once again, I remind you that the above and beyond this document our trump card of the ability to penalize them up to and including taking the road back, pocketing the money, we have, I think, the greatest guarantee of all, and that's their need and the demand of their investors that they run a road so good, in fact, so dramatically better than today, that it does attract the traffic on which they have made this extraordinary offer. I mean upon the closing of the contract.
What does that mean when you sign it?
Well, we will I suppose, sign an agreement with them that formalizes our acceptance of their offer. But we need the legislation first, and then we will. There will need to be a formal closing at which they have, in which they have organized their own financing, which undoubtedly, by the way, will include hundreds of millions, I'm guessing, of American invested dollars. And at that point, when the transaction is legally final, we'll release all the rest.
Well, Governor, you talked about the $854 million trust fund. Politicians have been notorious for taking money in trust funds, and maybe not necessarily dipping into it, but borrowing against it, using it as a source of revenue for other projects. Can you guarantee Hoosier State that the money that's in the trust fund for roads and transportation, that's what it'll get used
well,
for?
Well, you're not referring to any of the politicians up here, are you? It's a very legitimate question. That's why we've written the legislation to define tightly that these are funds for long-term investment, not to be drained off or dribbled away on anything short-term or operational. And, in fact, in transportation, I don't have any doubts that the Crossroads of America, with all the needs that we have to fund, all the new growth and projects that the next years are going to bring will more than be a match for the trust fund we have here. We've proposed a very large investment, first time in several years, in local roads, but that doesn't begin to cover all the needs there, for instance. So I will remain very determined that we have to have a trust fund that is real, and that is scrupulously observed. These dollars, which can be thought of as the trapped value in our toll road, must be reinvested across Indiana with obvious disproportionate emphasis to the seven counties for the long-term benefit of us all. What's that? I just think it's unthinkable now, it may take for some a day or two for the enormity of this opportunity to sink in, and they should have that time if they need to reflect on it. But Indiana's not going to pass up this opportunity. We're not going to tear up a $4 billion check. We're not going to throw away tens of thousands of jobs. We're not going to kill 69 and 31 and the Heartland Corridor. So, again, let folks ask good and natural questions. Let them have, if they need, a couple of days to think it over. But this is something we ought to all hold hands and do, and let the good, healthy political scraps happen on some other front.
You mentioned
I'm sorry. Yes, of course. We've answered this question frequently. We are putting on our own authority in a modernization of the toll structure, which hasn't been changed in 20 years, cheapest toll road basically in America today. That covers the next 10 years. There's a very strict limitation beyond that for the balance of the 75 years, and limits it roughly to 2% or inflation, that sort of thing. Yes, it's a narrow one, but it does. And we talked, carefully to those who represent, to mayors and others who represent that particular road you mentioned. They actually think that's a good thing. They don't want that to turn into an interstate highway right through the middle of town. But it does have that one provision in it, but it's limited to within 10 miles of the toll road.
How restricted that is, Governor, to
non-compete? It simply says the state will not build, for instance, a second toll road within 10 miles that directly competes. That's a very common and, in this case, very fair suggestion. And once again, we have absolutely no intention of doing that. And the folks who live up there would be rightly incensed if we did.
You can fill shuffles on US
20. Oh, sure, and will. In fact, we'll fill a lot of them now. You got a chuckle, I got a shovel. I think I ought to leave that to them. You'll see EasyPass, for instance, and new technology as fast as I think as possible. Again, adding enhancements like this is the only way for them to make this a successful investment for them and those who are their investors. But I will leave the specifics to them. But they did show us a capital plan. As I say, it's twice as much investment in the next few years as the more than twice as much as the state or the toll road has had an ability to do. The toll road, as you know, by audited statement, lost money last year, and it's beginning to it's been losing its ability to fully maintain itself, let alone add these enhancements. So the rate of investment in the toll road is going to more than double near term and over the course of time. One great thing is, as new technologies come along, Indiana will get them first, not years after the rest of the country, which has been the pattern.
Can you share one thing from their capital plan, though?
Let me refer you to Chuck Jalio, who's talked to him more about the details of that.
Governor, can you explain under what circumstances the state might take back the money?
I'll read it, Theodore. There are a lot of possibilities, but, you know, they get a right of cure if there were some real fundamental problem. Here's what would happen, of course. Their investors would fire anybody who wasn't delivering and hire somebody who could because they cannot afford to see that investment go away. It's the real world we're talking about here, see? And that would happen. But at the end of the day, the state has the right, if they don't cure every problem to our satisfaction, to take it back and run it ourselves.
Are we going to have enough money in the future to maintain all these new roads we're going to build?
What a wonderful problem to have to face. But it's a good question. And by the way, I think another good reason to make sure we scrupulously protect the trust fund nature of this and do not allow money to be siphoned for other uses. Yes, we will have a lot of great new infrastructure to maintain. And I look forward to the day when the maintenance budget is much bigger for that reason. And the trust fund and overachievement of this bid process probably would be the best single answer to it. Thank you.
Can be used for that?
Sure. It yes, absolutely.
And who will control the trust fund? Who decides how that money is spent?
Well, it would be under the same control we have today, NDOT, making decisions in whatever way it does. But obviously, we would be in close consultation with the General Assembly, especially about all the big projects. I think it's safe to say we won't have anything bigger to talk to you folks about for a little while, but thank you very much for coming today.
Good job.